Hallelujah. Well, several weeks ago, the Lord put a subject on my heart to start to minister to everyone, and I believe we're supposed to get started on that today. You wish everyone was here to hear it, but we're gonna get going with this subject, not because the people that are here are lacking in this subject, but because we need to know why we do what we do. I'm going to minister about the importance of the local church.
Yeah, amen.
The importance of the church. And, this is also being recorded and will be put on a podcast, so maybe others will be listening here that couldn't be here today. But if we could, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, Hebrews is an interesting book because we don't actually know who wrote the book of Hebrews. We know the authorship. We know who wrote the other books of the New Testament. But Hebrews is actually a mystery. Many assume or think that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews because it sounds a lot like something Paul would write. But in the other books that Paul wrote, most of the time he says it's him that's writing the letters, right? So in this book, there's no indication that it's Paul. But the interesting thing about the book of Hebrews is that even though the early church fathers who were kind of discerning what was going to be part of the New Testament, Hebrews was so amazing and so important, they thought, to what Christians needed to know about the Lord, that they put Hebrews in the New Testament, yeah, even though they weren't sure who wrote it. It had that much weight to it, or that much anointing upon it to make it significant, even though the author was not known. And so we take note of that. There's some important things in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, my husband often, if he's ministering on the subject, he'll say this. He'll say, if you had, sometimes in other countries, say China, for example, for a long time, and maybe even still in some parts of China, you're not allowed to have a Bible, or they're not allowed to send Bibles in. And so many times if a Bible gets smuggled in, they'll take books and tear them up, and they'll pass around different books. You get the Gospel of John, you get Mark, you get Hebrews. And my husband said if he had to just pick one book, like if he was only allowed one, he'd pick the book of Hebrews, because it gives such an overview. It's like a mini doctrinal statement of everything we're supposed to believe, if we could say it that way. And in this book, if you just sat down and read the whole book of Hebrews in one sitting, it's pretty amazing. All that is said, all that is talked about in this book. And just like in a good novel, or a good story, a good movie, you get to a part where they call it the climax of that story, right? There's something that this is kind of like what we've been building, this whole movie or this whole book has been building up to. Hebrews chapter 10, it's that climax of this letter, of this story, so to speak. And so Hebrews 10 is very significant because it gives you the climax, what everything the author was writing about up until now, what it all means. And so Hebrews starts by talking about the difference between we don't have the law anymore. We don't have to function under that Old Testament law anymore. But we can now walk in a different law, this new law, this law of love. And it's because of Jesus' blood that we can. And so we're not going to look at the whole chapter, although we could, but we'd be stuck here for quite some time. We're going to start in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. And it says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Wow, that's amazing. We can come with confidence because of his blood. We can draw near because of what Jesus has done for us. No longer do we have to sacrifice animals or do what they did in the Old Testament to have fellowship with God. And in verse 23, he says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful."
Yes. Hallelujah.
Verse 24, "Let us consider then how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Wow. So we have this amazing passage in this amazing book about what Jesus has done for us. Purchased our redemption with his blood, allows us to draw near to him, to obtain things from him because of what he's done. And in this climax, this chapter that kind of sums up everything he's been talking about, he tells us in verse 25, don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. Well, that's an interesting thing to mention in the middle of talking about all these things that Jesus has done and accomplished and kind of laying down the foundational doctrines of the church. He says, and don't neglect to get together. To come to church. Don't neglect to stir one another up in love. Don't neglect to encourage one another in God. Yeah. And then he says, and you're to meet all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Yeah, amen.
What's the day? His return, Jesus, coming again, glory to God. And if he was on this earth some 2,000 years ago, could we just say that his return is nearer now than it was 2,000 years ago? Yeah. So we are always to expect that day to be near. Mm-hmm. So that means we're always to be coming together, not neglecting this idea that we are to gather together. And the importance of what we would call the local church. Now, this word, meet together, okay? We're not to neglect to meet together. Other translations actually say to assemble together. And if you, my husband, of course, has a book called Assembled Together, and it's a book about the importance of the local church. Yes. And if you pull your book out that you have at home or on your iPad, you'll find a lot of what we're going over today in that book, because it's just so important that we need to preach on these things once in a while. But this word, this phrase, meet together, in the Greek, it means a complete collection. I like that. It's a complete, it's supposed to be the complete collection, not just a few coming this Sunday and then a few coming the next Sunday. And you know, at least in America, we have some difficulty all coming together on the same day, at the same time. And if we had a better knowledge of how important that is, we'd probably have a full building today. But it means a complete collection, especially a Christian meeting for worship. A complete collection, especially a Christian meeting for worship, an assembling or gathering together. And then some of the definitions, a gathering together in one place. So that means watching on live stream or, you know, listening later on the podcast, although we're glad we can do that, that's not supposed to substitute our coming together. That's supposed to just enhance or reinforce that which we got on Sunday. It's that gathering together in one place. It's the religious assembly of Christians is what this Greek was referring to. The assembly of Christians. Because there's going to be people out there that say, I don't need the church. I you know, it's just me and God. I don't need the church. Well, according to Hebrews, we're not to neglect the church. Matter of fact, if we want these other things in Hebrews 10 to work correctly, and we want to understand the blood of Jesus and how we can access him, we need the local church. We need the local church to teach us and help us and to show us these things and to remind us of that which we needed to be reminded about. So this is a... It's important, this idea of gathering together, coming together, being in one place, and fellowshipping together. And it's not just about hearing the preacher preach the word, although that's a big part of it. It's coming together in one heart, focusing on him together, worshiping together. It's learning to care for one another as one group, as one body. All of these things are a part of the church. And we want to be a part of all that God has for us. And the primary thing he has every believer do is find a local church. First thing, find the local church. And I know that you all come and you're here every Sunday. But one of the reasons you do is because you've seen this in action. You've seen the importance of these things. And we want to be able to explain to someone else why the local church is so important. And so it doesn't hurt us to go over these verses and to look at these things. Matter of fact, it only helps us to reaffirm what this is. So we're not going to neglect to meet together. Can you put this verse up in the Amplified translation for me? And it simply says this, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. So we see this. We're not supposed to forsake or neglect the church coming together as the church. And then it has this phrase here. It's actually the habit of some people to neglect. What's a habit? It's something you kind of do. Yeah, perpetually, daily, whatever it is. It's my habit to have a cup of coffee in the morning. Mm-hmm. Good morning, cup of coffee. That is my habit. If my habit gets interrupted, I have to learn to walk in love and be sweet anyway, because my habit's been interrupted. You know another habit I have in the morning and at night before I go to bed? I brush my teeth. It's my habit. Why do we brush our teeth? Why does the dentist tell us to brush our teeth? To take care of them, right? To keep them healthy. If you miss brushing your teeth for one day, will your teeth fall out?
No.
No, they won't. Your mouth might feel yucky. It might taste nasty, right? But your teeth themselves, they won't rot away in one day, right? Your dentist tells you to brush your teeth. I think, just totally personal opinion, I think that just having a bad breath is actually a reminder to us to keep our teeth and our mouth clean, right? Yes. Right? Yeah. If some people didn't have that, like a yucky feeling in their mouth when they wake up, they might not ever brush their teeth. Right. Why? Because they don't notice the difference in one day. They don't notice a decay in one day, right? They don't notice a problem. But it would be after years of not taking care of your teeth, that there could be problems with your teeth. And because it can take years for issues to surface, if we didn't have something like a yucky feeling or bad breath, there would be people you know. Mm-hmm. And just look straight ahead if it would have been you that wouldn't bother to take care of their teeth and brush them every day. Well, we take care of our teeth. We brush our teeth every day to protect our teeth for the long term, right? Not just to make a minty flavor, you know, fresh breath, but we do that to protect our teeth in the long term. And although that's good, and I want everyone to brush their teeth, and thank you for doing it this morning, right? Although that's good, really, the habit of coming to church, that protects your life, right? The church habit protects your life. Brushing your teeth protects your teeth. But that's it, just your teeth. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to help your feet or, you know, it's not going to help your hair. It's just going to help your teeth. But coming to church, that protects your life. That helps fulfill all that God has for you in your life by coming to church. And that's what we need to see. Will your life fall apart if you miss a Sunday? No. No. And that's what people don't see. They're like, well, I can just come when I feel like it, when it's convenient.
Right.
And, you know, that's good. That's fine. Well, it is good to come to church when you feel like it. But you're supposed to come to church when you don't feel like it. You just come to church because it's your habit. It needs to become the habit of some. And that's where we can, when we find younger Christians, baby Christians, or Christians that just have decided, you know, I'm just not really getting anything, or it's not really helping me that much to go to church. They're missing the big picture, the protection of their life.
Right.
And honestly, they're missing, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but they're missing the fact that they're supposed to connect with one another in the local church. There, it's not just that we come together, it's how we come together. It's why we come together. It's the fact that we're now family.
Yes.
We're part of one another's lives, and we care about one another, and God gives us opportunity to minister to one another.
Yes. Yeah.
And help one another. And that's part of His training for us.
Right.
So the local church provides all of this, and it's to be our habit. Now, to get our kids in the habit of brushing their teeth, it took some effort.
Yes.
When they were 2 or 3 years old, we had to show them how to brush their teeth. How many times a day do we brush our teeth? We had little fun little toothbrushes that might, you know, that might sing a little, play a little tune while they brush their teeth, or we'd sing something. Why? To show them how long they needed to brush it. Anything to help get them in the habit of brushing their teeth. And you hate to say it, but for some younger Christians, we might have to do some explaining, some helping, some encouraging,
yes,
to get them to understand this is important. This,
yes,
is part of our well-being. This is part of our life now, serving God,
yes,
is to come to church, to hear from God, to be together.
That's right.
And throughout life, we're going to have opportunities to pull away from church.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the case. When my babies were, when I had babies at home, and I was busy, and my husband traveled. He was away for several weeks at a time,
yeah,
sometimes. And it would have been easier when I had been up all night with one of the babies. It would have been easier for me to not go to church on Sunday. Sleep. Stay home and nap. But because there were people at church, there were people there that were looking for me, that were wanting me to be there, a part of my life. I knew there were some people that would call and say, are you okay if I wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is awesome, because if I wasn't okay, you know, if I was homesick and had two kids at home, there were people that would call and say, we'll be right over. We'll come get the kids. We'll take care of things. We'll cook a meal. The church is the place where we take care of one another. But because I knew they'd be calling, and if I couldn't answer and say, oh, I was sick, because I wasn't, if I just was too tired to get out of bed, and I knew they'd call and say, where were you? What's going on? I didn't want to say, I just slept in. So, or I was too tired. Because I didn't want to say that, I got out of bed. I got the kids ready. I loaded everybody in the car. I drove to church. I took them out of the car seats. I got them into the church nursery. I got myself into Sunday school and then to regular. Why? Because I knew the church would be looking for me. Not in a bad way, in a good way.
Right. Yeah.
And that kept me, in that time of my life, it kept me safe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It kept me in the habit of getting to church when it would have been easy to say, I don't really need to.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. When I got to church and I sat under my pastor and then I worshiped God with the rest of the believers, I left better.
Yes.
Than I had come,
yes,
right? I came tired. I came kind of empty, wiped out. No husband to help me at home. Got to do everything myself. And if I had just stayed at home on Sunday and not come to church, My husband wouldn't have met up with a pleasant wife when he got back.
Right.
Why? Because I'd stayed in the natural realm.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Where, and the enemy loves that. Oh, the enemy loves it. Don't, you don't need to go to church. It's not that important. You're tired. Stay home. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not necessarily preaching to you. Yes. I'm just helping us all, reminding us why we do this and why it's important we encourage others.
That's right.
To get
Amen.
Here. It's so important because what we don't realize is we need the local church. We need time in his presence. We need time together hearing the word, even if it's the word about not neglecting to assemble together, right? We need that to help our mind stay straight and think right. Why do we do this? Why is it important? What are we doing this for? Because God told us this is to be our habit.
Yeah.
This is to be something we do continually.
Yeah.
And as we see the day approaching, we're supposed to meet together more and more.
More and more.
More and more.
That's right.
This place, to me, is so important that I'll fly home to come to church and fly right back out to a place I was just at for the rest of the week because it's that important for me to be here.
That's right. Yeah.
Not just because I'm the pastor, but because the local church is that important to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense. Does that mean you can never go away on vacation? No. Go on vacation, you know? Go visit your family. That's okay. That's not what we're saying. We're saying some people, it's their habit to wake up in their house on Sunday morning and see, do we feel like going to church or do we not feel like going to church? And if we look at our feelings, guess what the answer is always going to be? I don't feel like going to church.
Right.
Nobody feels like doing that on your day off or your time off.
Right.
And people think, you know, well, I have to go to work because they pay me to go to work. And I need to be paid. But don't think that coming to church doesn't pay.
Wow.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep. That's good.
Amen.
Coming to church pays amazing dividends.
Yes.
It keeps your life safe and sound.
Yeah.
It gives you what you need to get through any trial or trouble that comes your way.
Yes.
Coming to church pays.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
It protects.
Amen.
It encourages and helps us in ways that going to work, I mean, going to work, thank God that we have jobs and we get a paycheck, but that's all it gives you. It gives you a paycheck.
Right.
That's such a lower form of existence.
Yes.
Right? Church. Praise God. Thank God for our local church. Thank God for Faith Church, Colorado.
Yes.
We don't forsake. We don't neglect coming together. It's so important.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we can't get in a habit of letting our flesh or our mind determine whether it's a good idea to go or not.
Right.
Yeah. We have to look to what God says. If God says the local church is where it's at, then that's where we go. And that's what we do. And this is the first part of any ministry that someone's called to. And we have so many people that come and go from our congregations that say, well, I'm called to ministry, so I don't need the local church. That's a problem, because the local church is where God proves you and tests your faithfulness to see when you're ready for ministry, right? And where and what he can do with you in ministry.
Yes.
Because God's going to check your character, your faithfulness. Will you stick with whatever ministry he's telling you
That's
to
right.
do?
Amen.
And if you can't stick with the local church every Sunday for a year, or you can't get there 2 weeks in a row,
yeah. right.
Well, let's not think that he's going to call you to a worldwide ministry. You know, if he can't get you to church 2 weeks in a row.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And so if these messages were more popular, we might have more people here. But then again, we've got to preach the word. Hallelujah. The word. So in Hebrews, we see in this amazing chapter, and go home and read it today if you want to, Hebrews chapter 10, it's awesome. But in this full chapter, we see right in the middle of it, him telling us, the local church.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amen.
Don't neglect it. Don't neglect to get together, to assemble together this Christian gathering. This gathering together, you can't neglect it. Some believers, even back then, whenever Hebrews was written, there were believers that were neglecting.
Oh, yeah.
They were in the habit of not going.
Yeah. Right.
Instead of the habit of going.
Right.
He said, you can't do that. Don't neglect to assemble, but admonish, warn, urge, and encourage one another. What? To get together. Encourage one another that this is important. There's a reason we come together, and it's not just to hear the word, although that's part of it. There are many reasons for the local church, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll get to some of these. But that's Hebrews 10. Then he goes again in Hebrews 12 and recaps all that he'd written in Hebrews again.
Yeah.
And in Hebrews 12... Verse 22, he says this. Well, let me pull this up here. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, he's talking about, okay, so Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter, right? Talking about all of our heroes of faith throughout the Old Testament, different ones, what they had done, how they did it. They did it by faith, in faith. With faith. There, I mean, it just goes on and on and on about these great men and women who had accomplished things by faith. And then he starts Hebrews 12:1 by saying, we're surrounded by this cloud of great men and God, this cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by them in heaven saying, Go, Christian, you can do this, you can walk by faith. And he's saying all of the things that happened before in the Old Testament, it was all written for us, for our example. And he talks about, you know, we are to consider Jesus who went through what he went through for us.
Yes.
So again, Hebrews 12, an amazing chapter. And he's talking and laying down the fact that because Jesus did what he did, we can do what we do. And in verse 12, for example, he says, therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. He's saying, come on, church, get with it. Stand up, get moving. There's things to be done. It's not just the people from Hebrews 11. It is all of us together doing our part. And so in verse 22 is where we're at. But in verse 18, he talks about how, you know, he talked about how when the children of Israel came to God with Moses, they were terrified, right? When they didn't want to talk to God. Remember when they all had to come to God, Moses called them all together, and the whole mountain was on fire.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was the whole mountain. We have some mountains here, right? What if an entire mountain was on fire? What? We'd all scatter too, right?
Yes.
And they were like, okay, if that's God, Moses, you go talk to him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. Mm-hmm. You go talk to him and tell me what to do. And so whoever wrote Hebrews said, look, that was the way it was back then. Somebody else had to talk to God for you. But that's not the way it is anymore. Glory to God. Because of the blood of Jesus, because we've been made righteous, we can come into his throne ourselves.
Yes.
And so he compares that old mountain where God showed up in fire to a new mountain called Mount Zion, which is representative of the church today. It says, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Praise the Lord. Now, that word, the assembly of the firstborn, that word assembly is the word ekklesia. Many of us have heard that word before. That's the Greek word we would say for the church. Ekklesia. That Greek word is amazing. Ekklesia literally means a calling out. You were called out of the world when you received Jesus. He called you out of an old life. Yeah. He called you Amen. Out of your past. He called you out of just being who you are in the natural.
Amen.
He called you out. And then it also means a religious congregation, a Christian community of members on earth, or saints in heaven, or both. And that's what he was talking about in Hebrews 12. He's saying, since you've been surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses that are now up in heaven, they're up in heaven, they're gathering together saying, go, 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 church, go. You can do this. You've got this, right? And he's saying, we've been called out with them to fulfill what God has us to fulfill. This assembly, this ecclesia, has been called out. It actually, another that it translates in the Greek there, it says, a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. Isn't that interesting? A gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. Okay, so that takes staying home and watching on live stream off the list, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the writer of Hebrews saying? We expect you to come out. You're called out to gather together. We see that same thing as we saw in Hebrews 10. There's a gathering, not staying home, coming together.
Yeah.
There's a power in being together, being in one place. Praise the Lord. Assembling together.
Yeah. Yeah.
The power is in the togetherness.
Yes.
The power is in the unity. The power is in the family. Praise God. And if people would see this, the world today, and especially here in America, we have this attitude like, I'll just do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. And we'll just respect each other and leave each other alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is carried over, that attitude is carried over into the church. I'm going to worship God the way I want to worship God. You worship him the way you want to worship him. For you, if it's going to church, good for you. For me, if it's not going to church, good for me. We're just going to do it the way we want to do it and respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good to respect one another. We're not getting angry with one another, right? We're walking in love with one another, whoever it is.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be loving one another,
yeah,
whether you agree with them or not.
Yeah.
But this idea that I can choose the way I want to worship God and my relationship with God, mm-hmm, and just because you guys go to church, I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
That's American.
Yeah.
That's a modern type of attitude that the world might have adopted, That's not Christian. The Christian says, Lord, I'm now yours. What do you say I need to do? And if he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, then there we are. It doesn't matter what I decide I want to do or what I feel like I could just get by with. If he says part of my help is the local church, part of my job is the local church, then I better make sure I get to my local church. And I know there'll be people that will argue and say, no, I can do what I want. And you say, okay, fine. But that person, that Christian who decides, I'm good by myself, I'm a loner, I'm just going to do it myself, I'm going to be on my own. It's like somebody deciding, I don't really need to brush my teeth. I don't really need that in my life. And the fact is, you can go for years not brushing your teeth. And although people might not come close to you because they don't want to smell your breath, you can do that, right? And it won't really affect you negatively, little, but not majorly, for a couple years. And at that point, I've seen Christians before that have pulled out of church or have been very casual, come once every other month, once here and there, and they think we're good. And because they don't see any problems in their life necessarily, they don't see the reason. They don't see the protection that's in place for coming. And so they go for years until everything crumbles, and then all of a sudden we have an emergency and we better get to church and find a pastor. Right. And so they come into church and say, you know, I used to serve God and I used to go to church, but then I fell, you know, I just kind of started doing my own thing. And now I've got to, you know, now I need help because everything's falling apart. My family's falling apart. My finances are falling apart. I don't have a job. Everything, my health is bad. And they start coming to church. Why? Because they see they need a problem. And so they start coming. And they start receiving because they're in a place of absolute turmoil. And they need things so bad that they suck it in like a vacuum. They suck in the word. And the word of God will fix problems.
Yes.
It will help, right?
Yes.
And so they start to get built up. They're like, oh, and they'll come up. And I've seen this. We've pastored many places. And we've seen it through the years. Somebody will come up, my life has changed. Thank you, Pastor. That's amazing. You're just amazing. I receive so much. This is great. And they will talk your ear off about how wonderful you are. And, you know, you learn, it's not me, it's the word, first of all.
Yes.
And you also realize where they're coming from. They're so far down in a pit that, I mean, you could get up and say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and they'd be like, yes, yes, right? Because they're so starved for God.
Yes.
But what happens is they come, they'll be there every Sunday for 3 months. God will start to moderate things in their life, start to help them with things in their life. They'll get their feet on some solid ground. And then they think, oh, well, we can miss a Sunday because we've got this come up. And then they start coming every other Sunday. And then they start coming once a month. And then they start coming once every 3 months. And then they just stop.
Because
I'm good.
Yep.
And I know you're all nodding your heads because you've all seen people like that as well. And then it goes a couple of years until the same thing happens. Their whole life falls down. I mean, I've had people call and say, I don't know why I'm giving and tithing. I don't know why it's taking God so long to bless me. I know it's not supposed to be that way. And I'm thinking, they've already told me that this, I mean, they've spent their life going to church and then falling out of church.
Yeah.
Going to church and then stepping away from the church. Going to another church and then getting out of church.
Yeah.
And they think I can just come to church, tithe for 3 months, and God's obligated to get me back to even and start to bless me and prosper me. And I want a private airplane like the other big preachers have a private airplane. We're called to assemble together.
Yes.
And he doesn't tell us we're called to leave that assembly when our life gets straight.
That's right. That's right.
And we're going to finish up here this morning, but we'll get to some other reasons why the church is important.
Yeah.
And just a hint, it's not all about us.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Once our lives get to the good side, so to speak, meaning we're walking in the blessings of God, we're seeing an increase of the things of God, we're walking in a better understanding of who we are in Christ, and he surrounded us with his blessings and with his family, when others come into that family, our job is to help supply them and help them in their walk with God. It's not just, oh, I'm good, so now I can pull out. But if we're good, awesome, now we can help somebody else.
Yes.
And that's what the local church is about. Everybody coming together, all different walks of life, all different places, and each one of us finding our spot and helping one another to grow. And it's so exciting. It's so awesome to see that. But we have this epidemic in Christianity of people thinking, I'm good. I'm just going to do me and God. I don't, you know, you guys go ahead and meet. That's cool. But for me, I'm good by myself.
Wow.
And so we always want to protect ourselves from that idea. But
yes,
we want to be able and ready with some of these scriptures to help encourage others how important the local church really is.
Yes.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to get together today. Thank you for our time together with you. Thank you for teaching us and reminding us about your church, how much it means to you, how important it is to you, Father, that your church thrives, that it grows, that it continues to strengthen in its ability to reach out into the community.
Yes.
We thank you for it today in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.